Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Now that I have already obtained all of this, this is the way the NIV reads it, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining forward for what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, forward faith. Somebody say, we got to move forward. Tell them no more backsliding. Now turn to somebody and tell them no more sideslide. You may be seated. Sideslide is not something you hear about a lot, but I think we deal with that more than we do backsliding. Somebody say yes. Somebody say amen. Somebody say you're preaching to my spouse. No, don't say that. But we always talk about backsliding. We always talk about, man, that they're backsliding. Man, they don't come to church anymore. Man, they don't serve God anymore. But there are some of us that have graduated, there that word is, that have graduated beyond the place where we're going to backslide. Let me tell you something about me. I will never backslide. I've got too much invested in the kingdom of God. God has brought me too far. God has done too much. Come on, can somebody testify with me? I'm like Peter when God looked at Peter and said, hey, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, hey, Jesus, where would I go? You got the words for eternal life. And so I know that I'm not going to backslide, but I do know Brandon, and I do know that even though I don't backslide, that the devil does try to get me to sideslide sometimes. And the problem with sidesliding is you put just as much effort moving sideways than you do going forward, yet you gain no ground. If I'm going to encourage anybody in this house, let me encourage you with this. If you're going to put the energy, if you're going to put the effort, if you're going to do all of that in movement, make sure it is forward progress and not side-to-side progress. For all you foot players in the house, those that are running backs or those that are fullbacks, your coaches always tell you, run north to south. Don't spend a lot of time running east to west because you will run. Some of those running backs, they'll run 20 yards, but they'll only gain two. Because they'll run so much this way. And we've got a generation in the Western church that's doing a whole lot of moving, but not a whole lot of progressing. God does not want us to move without progress. And so if I'm going to move, I'm going to go forward. If I'm going to have faith, it's going to be forward faith. Because you can have backwards faith and you can have side faith. But if we're going to have faith, I want a forward faith. When we look at this word graduate, it means a person who has received a diploma or degree, a person who holds their bachelor's or their first professional degree and is studying for, here's the word, studying for an advanced degree, meaning that what I've just came from or came out of has prepared me for what is next. See, when I look at graduation, I look at these high school and college graduates and what they're saying, and not just they're saying, what their school and officials and the state has said is they have learned all they can at this level. And so we are going to graduate them to this level. We got a couple of college grads. How many of you have gone to college and graduated in the house? Just wave your hand. You remember what it was like to be that big, bad senior at your high school? And then 3 months later to be that little fish at your college? See, some of us refuse to graduate because we don't want to go back down when we've been up. Oh, let me say it like this. We're the big bad senior on campus. Everybody knows our name. Everybody knows what we're about. And we graduate with a few hundred kids. And then we go up to University of Texas with 30,000 students, 40,000 students. And suddenly we are a little fish. And it's just like a lot of people who want to go to the next level and want to go to the next mountain, but they don't want to go down to the valley to get to the next mountain. But I'm here to tell you, unless you've got wings, you don't get to hop from mountaintop experience to mountaintop experience. The Bible says from faith to faith and victory to victory, but my faith on this mountain will lead me through the valley to get to my next. And so I want to encourage you, when you end one season of your life, what you're saying is I've learned everything I can in this season. I'm ready to step into my next season, but my next season is going to make me uncomfortable until I learn. It was like the first time you did long division. Man, we started homeschooling 3 or 4 years ago, and I think it's called Common Core Math was introduced to me. And it was introduced to me and thrown away all in about 18 minutes. Because we don't need to reinvent the wheel. 1 + 1 = 2. We're still a carry the one house. We're not making little boxes over to the right and starting second and third problems to solve the first problem. But when I graduated kindergarten, I went to first and first to second and on through. But I remember the first time I sat there and I was looking at Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. And the first time they said, if a train leaves Chicago going 60 miles an hour. And the train, I remember looking at that saying, number one, why do I in San Antonio need to know this? But I remember that as I grew, I would have never been introduced to algebra if I had not gone from addition to subtraction to multiplication to division and made my steps. Can I encourage somebody? You have made the proper steps that you need to take. And I know that next season of your life can look daunting. I know that next season of your life, it's all high fives now. And you step into that next season, you're saying, God, I didn't know it was going to be like this. But I'm here to tell you, if God called you to it, God is going to help you through it. And God does not open doors that you're not ready for. If the door is shut, it's either not your door or you're not ready. And so when God opens a door for me, I know that when I walk through that door, even if I'm not ready to do everything in there, I'm ready to live in that room for the first day. Because God doesn't open doors that I'm not ready for. This is the way I like to look at to graduate, whether we're talking about school or in life. A completion of one season and movement into your next season. The turning of a page. This is where I'm at in my life, and God has really been helping me with this, is that every moment builds momentum. And so every moment building momentum, when we understand that principle, it becomes very important that we make sure we get the most out of every moment. That means laziness and sleep until 1 or 2 in the afternoon. You can't do anymore. That means just giving your half-hearted best in relationships. It won't work anymore. That means just opening the Bible when you need something or talking to God when you want something is not going to cut it anymore. We need people that are literally saying, God, in this season of my life, every page of every chapter counts. And listen, I'm not going to throw away the book because of a bad page or a bad chapter. Because this is what you got to realize. There's a lot of pages in your book. There's a lot of chapters in your book. But can I tell you, there's an entire library that's waiting to be lived by you. And don't let yourself get discouraged because of a bad day, a bad moment, a bad relationship, a bad business deal, a bad season spiritually in your life. Don't take yourself out. Just flip the page and remind yourself you can live again. Again, you ever had a bad day? You know, a bad day wasn't, you know, there's people that at noon will say, I've had a bad day. No, you've had a bad, like, 18 seconds within that 12 hours. And now you're going to discard the next 12 hours. And you're going to move side to side, maybe backwards, because you had a bad moment. Elijah got so suicidal. He sat under a juniper tree and said, God, kill me. I want to die. He's bipolar. He's depressed. He's suicidal. You know what God does to him? God puts him to sleep, wakes him up, feeds him, puts him back to sleep, wakes him up, feeds him again. Never underestimate the power of a good nap and a snack. I'm going to tell you, I'm a power napper. I texted Mandy yesterday afternoon. I said, Mandy, I just took a power nap for 11 minutes and I feel great. Because check this out. I found in my life, this works for me. If I'm having a bad day, I have a power nap. I wake up and it's like I hit reset. You know when you're having problems with your phone and you do that hard reset where you hold both buttons down until it turns off? Or you've kept your laptop on for too long and you got to shut that bad boy down so it can reboot. Listen, when you rest in the things of God and you rest in God, it is literally like God is putting you to sleep and turning you back on. It's a hard reset. And this is what we say. We are factory resetting ourselves. Where was the factory? The factory is in heaven. So anytime that I allow God to reset my life because of a bad day, bad season, bad year, bad relationship, bad moment, anytime I allow God to factory reset me, I'm saying, God, make me what you created me to be in heaven. Never underestimate a snack, a good nap. I promise you, it's going to change your life. Enemies of forward faith. Let's talk about this for just a second. There's three of these that I want to talk about. Talking to the graduates, I'm talking about people in life that you've come through. You've had some success. It's been a great year. And you say, how can it be a great year? We've got all of this stuff going on in your life, in our world. How can it be a great year? It can still be a great year. And that's what's important to understand, that we are in the hand of God. Doesn't mean that everything's right. It means that we're in the hand of God. It means that God is not going to let the disease touch our house. It means that if I get sick, I'm going to get well. Come on now. I said it the other week. There's a 97% chance that you're not going to get the virus. And then if you get it, there's a 99% chance you're going to recover from it. I like those odds. But if something were to happen, I'm going straight to heaven. That's what I believe. And so I realize that no matter what's going on around me, I can still be productive, I can still be fruitful, I can still do what God has called me to do. And so when we have something good in our lives, or we graduate high school or college, or we get a new job, or we get married, there are three enemies that will keep us from moving forward. Number one is this word, satisfaction. There is an old song that I can't get no satisfaction. You don't need satisfaction. What you need is contentment. See, in our Western dictionary, satisfaction and contentment are synonymous. But there is a great difference in them. This is what Paul would write in Philippians 4:11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. You have to get to the place that when you don't have money, you are just as content as when you had a lot of money. That if I'm laid up in the hospital bed, I'm just as content as I was when they gave me a clean bill of health. When I got my pink slip, I was just, you say, Pastor, that is impossible. No, it is miraculous. It is a state of mind saying, God, you're the one who gave me that job, and if it's time for me to move jobs, you've got a better job. God, I know I'm laying in the hospital, but I know you are my healer. God, I know my relationships aren't right now, but God, work in his heart, work in my heart, work in her heart, work in my heart. I know what it is to be in need, Paul said, and I know what it is to have plenty. So you're talking to a person that has been on both ends of the spectrum, and he said, I'm content in every area of my life. I have learned the secret of being content. Come on, he's going to share a secret now. If he's going to share a secret, you better write it down. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sidebar, Paul wrote this contentment text in prison. See, I can do all things through Christ was not about you making the middle school volleyball team. It could be, but it's bigger than that. He said the secret to contentment is knowing this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I make $50 a week, God's going to multiply the 50 so that I can get through the week. If I make $5,000 a week, I'm not going to get a big head and fall in love with money because I realize it came from God and I'm blessed to be a blessing. I can do all things. When I'm healthy, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if I should get sick, if I should have to go lay in a hospital for a while, I understand. And for those graduates that are sitting here today, when you understand there is nothing that can stop you, there is nothing waiting at university or college. There is nothing waiting in the career or the master's program or the postgraduate program. There is nothing there that can hurt you. You become confident in God with a forward moving faith. Contentment. Satisfaction. Satisfaction is the feeling you have once desires, expectations have been fulfilled. Contentment. Content means to be, in the Hebrew, means to be pleased. Remember Paul was the one who said, I glory in my affliction. That's an amazing place to be. That when something bad happens, I'm pleased, not with the bad, but I'm pleased with the response that the bad is going to produce. Because I know when bad shows up, God shows up. Because he said, in your weakness, I am made strong. Come on. So when he says, learn to be content, learn to be pleased in every situation. When I'm blessed, God, thank you for blessing me. When the devil comes at me, I'm just thinking, God, I can't wait for you to show up, put him in his place, and I get a front row seat. So content means to be pleased in the Hebrew. Satisfaction is the feeling you have because of a particular occurrence or object happens. Contentment is inward. Satisfaction is outward. It's much like the difference between happiness and joy. Being satisfied is dependent on what's happening around you. If we can only get satisfaction from around us, then all of us right now are not satisfied. Because of the political climate, the racial climate, the money climate, the health climate, none of us are satisfied if we are depending on outward things. But when we are depending on internal things, inward things, that's why the Bible says be transformed. That's an inside thing. By the renewing of your mind, you get your mind right. And you get content. I'm pleased in whatever season I am. Satisfaction doesn't become a part of my life. Why? Because I'm content with what God has called me to have and what he's called me to do. Contentment is a permanent habit or state of mind. A habit takes 6 weeks to form. That's why most New Year's resolutions are broke by January 10th. I think it's 90%. Because they did it for 10 days. They didn't do it for 6 weeks, for 42 days. There's a lot of us that we can do it for a moment, but we can't. But contentment has to become a habit. And you can't say you're content when everything's good. We have to see you at your worst so that we can see God at his best. For you to be able to say you're content, you better have a testimony. This is the hell I've been through, and I never lost my praise, and I never lost my faith, and I never cursed God, and I never turned my back on the church, and I never turned my back on what God had called me to have. Satisfaction, if contentment is permanent, satisfaction is a temporary feeling that can be manipulated by people, things, and situations. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. God plus the spirit of contentment that I'm pleased with everything around me is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we are certain to not carry anything out. We are content but not satisfied. Don't get me wrong, church. I am grateful but not satisfied. We are content and grateful, but we are not satisfied. Number two, this will keep you from moving forward. The enemy of comparison. Theodore Roosevelt says this, that comparison is the thief of joy. Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5, each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Another translation says this, each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishment without comparing yourself to others. Assume your own responsibility. One thing, as a youth pastor and as somebody who is a big proponent of education, but I'm also a big proponent of being financially and fiscally responsible, is this is what I'm telling your kids. If you can go to a four-year college like UT, A&M, Oregon, Florida, Penn State, Yale, go to those, but do not put your financial future in jeopardy just because you want to go to a big-name university. There is nothing wrong with going over here to Lakeview and getting you a degree, getting you a college education. I'm not going to go broke now so that I can put up fancy pictures of me at bonfires and me at football games when none of that matters. I'm not competing with you. I'm competing with me. And I'm competing with the me that God said I could be and is wondering why I'm not now the person that he called me to be then. When I wake up, come on now, I'm competing with the person, the Brandon God called me to be now that God is wondering why I'm not the person now that he called me to be then. Where did God expect you to be in June of 2020? God's not surprised in the pandemic. I talked to some young people this week. When God gave you your visions and your goals on December 31st, 2019, headed into this year, and some of us are using those excuses. Well, I haven't done it because the pandemic happened, and I haven't done it because we didn't know all of this craziness was going to be going on. Yet you didn't know, but he knew. He wouldn't have given you the vision If he didn't think you could handle it in the middle of a pandemic, my God is bigger than a virus. My God is bigger than hate. My God is bigger than unrest. And so I'm not comparing myself to others and to thing. I'm comparing myself to who God has called me to be. And finally this, the spirit of apathy. Apathy will keep you from moving forward in faith. I say this to the graduates, but I say this to a lot of people. And I've never heard apathy preached like this. But I call apathy the spirit of exhale. Because when we exhale, what we're saying is I need that rest. So we finish high school and we, I'm done. We get married and when we get back from our honeymoon, we're married. When we have children, when we finally get them in the car seat, we figure out how to work that thing after like 22 minutes. We made it, not knowing that the real work in marriage starts the day you get back from your honeymoon, not at your wedding. The real parenting starts not when you're building a nursery and planning the theme, but now the diaper changing starts. And before you know it, they're in middle school, and before you know it, they got licenses, and before you know it, they're 18, and all of these things. And so I want to encourage you, fight the spirit of exhale. Fight the spirit of I've made it. Listen, you've made it very far, but you have a long ways to go. And so I want to encourage you, and one of my friends had it was an exciting debate the other day by text, because he released a video and there's a movement among Zillennials, and they're anti what they call the hustle culture, that you need time for yourself and you got to relax and you got to chill. And listen, I texted him and I said, listen, bro, that's the last thing we need to be telling this generation. There's too much chilling going on. There's too much Netflix going on. There's too much chilling going on. There's too much. I'll just wait. I'm going to take a year off and find myself. Listen, you ain't going to find yourself playing Xbox. You ain't going to find yourself backpacking across Europe. You're not going to find yourself at Woodstock. You're not going to find yourself, come on, you're not going to find yourself. You need to say, God, if this is what you called me to do, I thank you for how far you brought me. I exhale, but I exhale to inhale. What's next? God, I graduated high school. What's next? God, I graduated college. What's next? God, I got a good job. What's next? God, I'm married. What's next? God, I made $1 million. What's next? Because God is going to take you as far as you want to go with forward faith. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. There's three things he said. He said, I forget those things that are behind me. I reach. Here's the NIV says, I strain. Stretch forward to the things which are in front of me. Three things Paul says to do in the scripture. If you'll put it up real quick. I believe it's verse 14 of chapter 3. He said, listen, at the end of my day, and they're going to put it up in a minute. They'll find it. I'm sure they will. Right there on the screen. I made it for them. Philippians 3:14, you got it? I'll just wait on you. There we go. I press towards the mark. Go back to verse 12. Now that I've already obtained all of this, or I've already arrived at my goal, I press on towards to take the hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. One thing I do, and he said this, he said, I forget. I'm going to say something that probably no one's told you this year. Forget about high school. It was cool. You had a lot of fun. Most of those friends, never talked to again. You might, for the next 6 months, probably never talk to them again. Remember the highlights, but all of that stuff is going to pale in comparison to where God is taking you. I want to encourage you, forget about your mistakes. I've made 1,000 of them. You've made 1,000 of them. Forget about all of that. Don't let it hold you back. Church, if you've made mistakes, don't let it hold you back. Say, man, Pastor, I'm dealing with that divorce I had last year. Quit dealing with it. It's over. The ink's dry. Move on. You're going to sacrifice future relationships because you're holding on to that one? Pastor, I can't keep a job. Come on now. Let's look at why you can't. But don't let past job history rob you from a job you're supposed to get or a business you're supposed to start. I forget what is behind me. And this is the key. For those of us that are reaching for greater things, you've even got to forget about the good moments. Nostalgia will hold you in place or keep you looking back. I forget those things which are behind me. I strain forward. He said, I forget and I focus. We need focus in the church. We need focus as believers. Too many people have broken focus. And after he says, I strain, he says, I strain, I press on. That's faith. I press on. Press means no matter what's against me, I press. When it's difficult, I press. I faith, I focus. I'm sorry, I forget, I focus, I faith. If you're in this building today and you're ready for that next, I believe that that spirit of moving sideways has been on some of us. It needs to fall off of us. I believe some of us for the last 4 months during COVID, we have treaded water. We have not gained ground. We cannot blame anybody for that. We got to take responsibility and say, listen, like Paul, I'm on faith. I'm on focus and I'm on forget. If that's you in this house today, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready to receive. I want you to get ready to forget. Here's a phrase God dropped.